Thank you, choir, very much. Appreciate your not only willingness to do that twice, but to bless us twice. I know that was a great presentation. And isn't Christmas a time that you just enjoy the music that has become part of the repertoire of our celebration? In fact, it reminds us that this is a time that we indeed are to worship God. Now, we who stand before you and preach has been my calling in life for many years now. You know, when you come to Christmas, there's really only a handful of scripture passages that you had to preach from. And you've covered all of those in about the first 3 years. But the great thing about God's Word is the more you delve into it, there's always something fresh. As I was coming to Christmas this year and thinking about what I wanted to share, there's really only three major passages of scripture that give us the narrative, the history, the events, if you will, of Christmas, and that's Luke 1, Luke 2, and Matthew chapter 2. There's prophecy, of course, and there's teaching on the subject, but it all kind of boils down to those very simple stories. But as I began reading them again and just thinking away through them again, it's what led me to encapture with these thoughts, glory to the newborn king. It impressed me that every one of these narrative stories, every one of these listing of events is a worship scene. It's all about worshiping him. And we're going to begin that this morning, and I'll share a little bit more with you concerning that tonight. But really, in some sense, the narrative stories of Christmas become for us a template, if you will, of what it means and how to worship Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. How do we worship Jesus? We all know that we should. We all know that we do and we desire to. We all know that he is deserving of our worship. But just how do we do that? I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 2 this morning, and I'm going to begin reading in just a moment in verse 8, Luke 2, 8. If you have a Bible handy, feel free to have it out. There's also some in the seat backs in front of you if you'd like to borrow one of ours. But this is one of those passages that when I begin reading it, most of you could probably just quote it right along with me from memory, because every year we read these same stories repetitively. And it is the story of this first worship service after the birth of Christ. And God, in his miraculous way of working, assembles a congregation of shepherds at that first worship service. In their society, they were viewed as the outcast and the low class people of society, the last people you would ever expect to be invited to come and worship Christ the King. But they are assembled to be the congregation. Mary and Joseph are the servants of God there waiting. The angels become the choir and the worship leaders. The manger is an altar, and it's all focused upon this baby that is laying before them, who was God come in the flesh. Verse 8, Luke 2. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The call to worship was complete. And then we have this response of verse 15. And this gives us the first of two we're going to look at this morning's how-tos when it comes to worshiping our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the angels said one to another." I don't know as I can prove this, I'm sure I can't, but I think there was a long pause after God turned out the light and the angels vanished from their view before the first one spoke. As I imagine, one of them says, "Did you see what I think I just saw? Was that real?" And once they determined that what they saw was not some element of their creation, of their imagination, middle of verse 15, they said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now you think about what these men did and didn't do. And frankly, this very simple story reduces it down to a very simple but very profound understanding for us of what it takes to worship Jesus Christ. They didn't gather around the manger and sing a song. The little drummer boy really was not there. I hate to brush your bubble, but they didn't bring any gold and frankincense and myrrh. That awaits for another story, another event. The only thing they did was they showed up. What's it take? How do we worship Jesus Christ? Number one, you and I need to show up. Just the mere fact that we show up in the presence of God, be it in a worship service such as we are in this morning, or be it in the absolute privacy of our own hearts when we are alone with God in some other venue, we show up in His presence. God is honored when we show up. God is pleased when we show up. We have just given of our time. We've sacrificed of that finite amount of what is probably the most precious commodity that most of us have, which is our time, that we take time to show up. Well, you've shown up this morning. God bless you for that. May God reward you for that. I'm also distinctly aware that every one of us who gathered this morning, you showed up because of your own free will. You chose to, prompted by the Holy Spirit, I assume, and prompted by your values and your desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But no one banged on your door at 8 o'clock this morning, making sure you got out of bed in time to get cleaned up and get to church. You came. You showed up. Might I also ask another favor of you? Two others, in fact. Number one, not only should we show up, but we should maintain a commitment to showing up. This should be part of our routine. It should not be sporadic. It should not be if we only have some time left over. May I say it this way? This should be our priorities, the follow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand there are days, like there was last Sunday, when God saw fit to send rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow all on the same Sunday morning. And none of us could show up last Sunday morning. We understand that. And there are other circumstances of life. I don't mean in any sense mean to make this a legalistic thing, but I do mean to make this a statement of what our heart should be doing, and that should we should desire when God's people are together to show up. We need to make that a commitment. Secondly, I would also ask you to do this. When you show up, will you bring all of yourself with you? Don't leave anything behind. And what I mean by that is this. Maybe it'll be a way to do it. I grew up in a day when we used to read and watch fiction from science fiction. One of the great science fiction themes is of time travel. If I could travel back in time, or you could travel forward in time. Actually, that is not fiction. Because right now it is 11 something in the morning, and your body is here. But I also know your mind could already be time traveling tomorrow morning at work right now. That's where you could be. Or it could be traveling back in time, and you could be thinking about what you were doing yesterday or the day before. Or you could go back to your childhood. Or you can go forward to school this week, or the test you need to take when you get to school. Or maybe it's your shopping list for Christmas, or you got to bake all that stuff because company's coming. It is possible to be here but not be here. Have you figured that one out? I just want to encourage us all. This is vital. Just like these shepherds had this great sense of privilege, which the Lord has shown to us. They knew the value of the Son of God. The point, as he says, was given to them in verse 14. What's the point of coming? Glory to God, to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. We need to give our whole heart and mind undivided, without time travel, to be here to worship God, that we're all here. Show up for Him. We'll talk about private worship a little bit this evening as we continue this theme of how to worship Jesus Christ. We are going to have, another meeting, but we will also continue in the Word this evening. But secondly, I want you to go back to the text for just a moment. We just read verse 16. I want to read it again. It says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They'd been given by the angels this divine sign. The baby you find in Bethlehem wrapped up, lying in a manger." That's the one. Probably weren't too many manger cradle babies that night in Bethlehem. So probably once they found that one, they knew it was him. But they didn't do anything else except show up. And then it says this, verse 17. "And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child," this child. "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." How to worship Jesus Christ? Number one, show up. Number two, speak up. That's exactly what they did. Speak up for him. All they did was, when they went back to their normal shepherding duties, went back to their communities, went back to their families, went back to their fellow men, they simply told everyone what they had heard, what they had seen, and what they had experienced. They told what they knew to tell. It says everybody marveled at these things. All who heard it marveled at these things. Could this be the Messiah? Is this the one? And it's like an expanding ripple of knowledge and wonder and mystery, and a sense of God's work is going on in that part of the world at that time. First of all, I want to just say this quickly, that only you can only share what you've experienced. You can only share this wonderful gift of God sending his Son to be the Savior of the world. You can only share it if you've experienced it. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced having a genuine relationship with God through faith in his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, we would invite you to have that kind of a relationship. Because Jesus not only was born in Bethlehem, as the musical presented, he also died on Calvary to pay for our sins. And through our belief, our faith in that, we can be made right with God and have a relationship with him. If that's an open question for you, if that's something unsettled for you, it doesn't need to be unsettled any longer. Pastor Stotler and Pastor Johnson will be here at the front. I'll be at the back. We'll have a closing song. You can come and talk to them during that song or after the service. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you or to answer your questions or to take the Word of God and share with you exactly what it means to be saved. That invitation stands open to you. But if you have received him, then you have everything you need to share his truth. Just tell someone, some way, somehow, what you've experienced. This is a unique opportunity. This time in which we are living right now, this season of the year, is a unique opportunity for us to share. You know, we Christians sometimes rebel against when people say, "Well, happy holidays." That kind of, we'd much rather say Christmas. We want to get Christ in there somehow. So sometimes we want to say, you know, "Happy holidays." Well, Merry Christmas. I'm going to encourage you to do something. And I'm not even going to give you the script. I just want you to think about this. In these next few days prior to the celebration of Christmas on the 25th, I want you to find some other way to greet somebody and say something about the Lord. Maybe it's just, "I hope, may God bless you at Christmas." Or may you have a blessed Christmas. Or have a great celebration of the birth of Christ. Just find some, just take that phrase and just make it your own. And make it a means that you're going to speak up in some small way that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And perhaps there's someone that you could say this to if you have this opportunity. To ask someone, "Do you have some place that you're going to be worshiping the Lord? Or you're going to be celebrating the birth of the Savior?" "Well, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Not sure." You're welcome to come with me to a place of worship. They already got a place of worship, leave them alone. Let's let them worship and be part of another fellowship. But you understand, the vast majority of people that you and I meet and know are not going to spend any time at any church, at any facility, at any place of worship. Research says that somewhere between 60 and 70% of people who are given a personal invitation to come to church will come at least once. I've also figured out people don't come twice if they don't come first time. So friends, let this be the opportunity to find some small way that we speak up. And let's maintain our commitment to show up for our Lord. That's all the shepherds did. They showed up, they spoke up. And that's what God calls us to do. In just a moment in prayer before we have our closing song, I just want to lead us in a prayer. And here's what I would like for you to tell the Lord, even the personalness of your own heart, to tell him that you will show up and speak up for his glory. That's your commitment. We're going to leave with this determination in mind. We've had these great songs where our hearts have been stirred, our minds have been directed back to God's gift. And let's go with the determination that we're going to do as the shepherds did, that we're going to worship Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word this morning.